The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP The Bulletin, a Q&A with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Older people are happier. No one wants their young mind again, filled with anxiety, bias, and selfishness. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 78, talks about his hoops career, pursuing social justice, life after NBA stardom, and what gives him hope in today's America. In your new book, We All Want to Change the World, you describe two events in 1964 when you were 17. One was a Martin Luther King Jr. press conference you attended for a student publication. The other was a protest in Harlem that turned violent. What did you learn from those experiences? At the time, the lessons were more emotional than intellectual. Meeting Dr. King made me feel like I was a part of the solution. He inspired hope and made me want to join him in his righteous crusade. In contrast, the protest scared the hope out of me, at least temporarily. There were real bullets flying, stores being looted, people running for their lives. This was the real world of civil rights, and it wasn't soft-spoken like Dr. King. It screamed in my head. It made me aware of the fact that lives had been lost in the fight for social justice, and more lives were going to be lost before we got to our objective. And that is still part of your life. I've realized how important it is. There is a quote that I relate to. Until all of us are free, none of us are free. As I get older, I understand more and more what that means. You have to have patience and be determined. It's a hard lesson for some people. You've talked about how basketball helps shape your identity and values. How so? It gave me the determination and patience I needed to excel. When I was in the fifth grade, an older kid in the neighborhood showed me the George Meekin drill, which involved shooting a hook shot. So I worked on it, and I worked on it, and by the eighth grade, I was pretty good at it. What did you learn from John Wooden, your coach at UCLA? He was determined that we become better men first and better basketball players second. He didn't focus on winning, but he taught us in such a way that winning was a natural byproduct of our striving. The NBA game has changed dramatically. Which young players impress you the most? Nikola Jokic. His game is a good template for teams nowadays because he gets the ball at the top of the key and leaves the rest of the team all that room to move under the basket. Luka Doncic is awesome too. Sorry about the pronunciation. He's like Magic Johnson. He sees the whole court as if it's the palm of his hand. What role can athletes play in teaching about social justice? Studies show that athletes follow only parents as the most admired and influential figures in children's lives. So when we choose to speak publicly in support or opposition of something, we better be offering an opinion based on facts and logic. You sold some of your memorabilia for a worthy cause. Just my championship rings. They were just sitting in the case, so I used them to start my program sending inner-city kids to the Angeles National Forest and have them do STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics experiments. We want them to think about STEM. After you retired from basketball, you devoted yourself to writing. Any advice on reinventing yourself later in life? Pick something you enjoy and don't worry about being good at it right away. Nobody picks up a paintbrush and expects to create a masterpiece the first time. What is your most important lesson learned about aging? Older people are happier than younger people. Yes, we would love to have our young bodies back, But nobody wants their young mind again, filled with all that anxiety and bias and selfishness. If younger people could only see what we see and feel what we feel, they would be a lot less judgmental. What gives you hope now? When I read the comments on my Substack posts, I'm inspired by the passion my readers have for doing what's right. I'm also heartened by the age range of the people showing up at protests now. Lots of young people, sure, but also a lot of gray-haired folks and no-haired folks who haven't given up on their country. The spirit of Woodstock still runs through them. Now, for a bit of medical advice, ask Dr. Adam. A top internist and cardiologist answers your questions with surprising doctor-tested tips. Some of my friends take edibles to help them relax or sleep. Is that okay? Dr. Adam. A lot of older adults, including some of my patients, are using marijuana to unwind, manage insomnia, relieve pain, or simply enjoy its effects and boost their mood. The National Poll on Healthy Aging, conducted last year by researchers at the University of Michigan, found that in the previous year, 21% of adults age 50 and older used cannabis in one form or another, from smoking it to consuming edibles. I'm not making a moral judgment about anyone's choice, but I do want people to remember that marijuana is a drug. I think some folks forget this fact, since in states where it's legal, you can just walk into a dispensary and buy edibles as if you were picking up a candy treat at the supermarket. Nearly half our states have legalized recreational cannabis. Check to see if it's within the law where you live by looking at the nonprofit advocacy group Normal, N-O-R-M-L's website. People may think, well, if I can purchase it in a store, then it can't be really harmful. But you need to remain aware that just like any over-the-counter drug, cannabis has real effects. While many are enjoyable and helpful, some may be unpleasant, even dangerous. You cannot eat edibles like candy. For instance, a study of emergency room visits in California from 2005 to 2019 found a whopping 1,804% increase in cannabis-related ER visits among those 65 and older. A Canadian study also found an increase in cannabis-related ER visits by older people after edibles were legalized in 2020. Let me be clear that most people who experience problems do so because they've ingested too high a dose of THC, a psychoactive compound found in cannabis. Patients may come to me and said, "My friend gave me these gummies for pain because they helped him with his arthritis." Well, that may be so, but what's the dosage? While one person can handle a 5 or even 10 milligram dose, you might be able to deal with only 2.5 milligrams or less. Everyone's metabolism and tolerance are different. Again, as with any medication, you need to be cautious. Edibles in general can cause a powerful and intense high, and you can overdose without realizing it. If you ingest too much, it can cause nausea, vomiting, dry mouth, drowsiness with dizziness, an increased risk of falling, impaired coordination, trouble standing or walking, hallucinations, rapid heartbeat, anxiety or panic attacks, confusion, and delusions. Even if you were an old hand at using marijuana in your youth, many of my older patients report that these days pot products are much stronger. They thought they had a wealth of experience, but their edible hit them with a wallop. I suggest that you speak with your doctor before trying an edible, especially if you're combining it with any other medication. If you've never used THC or haven't for many years, you may want to have someone stay with you who is sober, just in case you have a negative reaction, and be sure to stay hydrated. More research is needed to determine the potential benefits and pitfalls of cannabis for older adults. while marijuana-infused edibles have been consumed for recreational and medicinal purposes throughout history, as far back as 2700 BC. Ultimately, the decision is up to you whether you try one. Now, under the heading of State News, Mid-Atlantic, first we have Spotlight, Washington, D.C., doing good and staying engaged. After Dolores D. Powers retired in 2006 from a 38-year career with the Federal Aviation Administration, she joined a local senior center, participating in exercise, art, language, and other classes. Before long, she asked how she could pitch in, and she's been volunteering at the Model Cities Senior Wellness Center ever since. "I'm here Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, says Powers. "I just really love being here in the presence of my peers." In April, AARP District of Columbia recognized Powers' work with the 2024 Andrus Award for Community Service, the organization's most prestigious state volunteer honor. Powers, who lives in Riggs Park, says she grew up seeing her parents help their neighbors and friends. She began volunteering as a candy striper for Washington Hospital Center when she was 14. Her motto today? Don't stay home and be isolated. When Powers isn't volunteering, she loves to line dance or groove to 60s music and spend time with her siblings, children, and grandchildren. But every weekday, after dropping her great-grandson at school, Powers heads to the center, where she does everything from taking program attendance to leading groups on outings to serving lunch. She even drives members who need rides to and from the center, which currently serves about 585 city residents age 60 and older. Program director Stacy Mack calls Powers a rocket booster for engagement and the community-building glue, who is kind-hearted, patient, and a go-getter. She's just amazing. Someone that you would want as your friend. Says Powers, "If I can just make somebody happy today, then I'm happy. I've done some good for the day." And here's a note from North Carolina, curbing crypto fraud. AARP is working with government officials, law enforcement, and other groups to warn consumers about the growing problem of scams involving cryptocurrency ATMs. It's part of a campaign by the North Carolina Senior Consumer Fraud Task Force, which includes the state's Attorney General, the Secretary of State, the State Employees Credit Union, and other stakeholders. The task force is asking businesses with crypto kiosks to post signs warning consumers about the risk of fraud associated with the ATMs, which convert dollars into virtual currency. The signs note that criminals may use crypto ATMs because digital currency transactions are irreversible and hard to trace. The rise of cryptocurrency has opened the door for a new wave of financial scams and fraud, says Attorney General Jeff Jackson in a statement to the Bulletin. Criminals pose as tech support staff, government officials, or a romantic interest and urge victims to send them money via the ATMs, which look similar to regular bank ATMs and are often found in convenience stores, laundromats, and gas stations. Nationwide, fraud losses through crypto ATMs jumped nearly tenfold from 2020 to 2023 and surpassed $65 million in the first half of 2024. Federal Trade Commission data shows. Officials say the actual numbers are likely higher because fraud is underreported. The task force's push will show how easy it is for retailers to be part of the solution when it comes to fighting fraud, says Stephen Hahn, AARP North Carolina's Associate Director for Communications. He says AARP may also pursue legislation to regulate crypto ATMs and further protect consumers against fraud. This next article is under the heading of Your AARP, Where We Stand, AARP and Partners Push for Aging with Dignity. On May 9th and 10th, against the backdrop of the election of Pope Leo XIV, I was honored to represent AARP as co-host of a landmark international symposium in Vatican City on global aging. In partnership with the Pontifical Academy of Life, ETA Grand Foundation, and the Memorial Papa Francisco, this historic gathering brought together heads of state, private sector innovators, intergovernmental organizations, faith leaders, and civil society representatives from more than 20 countries for The Memory, a symposium addressing the opportunities and challenges of an aging population, global population. Building on Pope Francis's call to include older people in our thinking and policies, the two-day symposium offered a rare opportunity for international dialogue about caregiving, brain health, the longevity economy, and the unique challenges of aging in developing nations. The discussion included various scientific, religious, and cultural perspectives. The timing couldn't have been more striking. My AARP colleagues and I arrived in Rome just as white smoke was rising from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. The news of Pope Leo's election spread fast, and the streets were jam-packed with jubilation. Thanks to the extraordinary commitment of our Vatican co-sponsors, the symposium moved forward and the welcome deepened. Our meeting was an urgent call to action. Attendees were united in seeking greater worldwide support to confront the challenges and realize the opportunities created by the rapid growth of the aging population. The mega trend of aging is already reshaping societies. Consider these facts. By 2050, more than 2.1 billion people, one in five, will be 60 or older. 62 countries will have at least 30% of their population over the age of 60. A stunning 80% of the 60-plus population will reside in lower- and middle-income countries. This dramatic demographic shift will impact all aspects of society, including economic growth, healthcare systems, the composition of the workforce, the design of urban areas, and more. By planning now, we can ensure that populations everywhere thrive. Our symposium culminated in the signing of the Vatican City Declaration of the Pontifical Academy of Life, AARP, Muslim Council of Elders, a landmark document establishing the following key commitments and strategic priorities for global aging initiatives. Actively support a world where older persons can live with purpose and dignity. Recognize the critical contributions of family caregivers. Help enable healthier, longer lives. Actively support brain health strategies in all countries. Combat age discrimination in all forms. Support an international treaty to protect the rights and dignity of older persons. And support the establishment of an international entity to champion older adults. AARP is primarily focused on serving older Americans. We've long believed we can improve our ability to do that by learning from people around the world. Our partnership with the Vatican as co-host of this symposium builds on that commitment. As our founder, Dr. Ethel Percy Andrus, once said, "What we do for all." AARP works on behalf of older adults everywhere and on behalf of members and non-members alike. AARP is proud to be in the vanguard of the international response to the challenges of global aging. And now let's look at a few items in the column, Medicare Made Easy. I've been collecting Social Security for several years. My 65th birthday is next month, and I just got a Medicare card showing I have Parts A and B. I'm covered under my spouse's work insurance, so can I decline it? Since you are already getting Social Security benefits, you are automatically enrolled in Medicare A and B when you turn 65. Medicare Part A hospital insurance is free for most people and cannot be declined unless you're willing to give up your monthly Social Security benefits. You can, however, opt out of Part B and its monthly fee of $185 for people with a modified adjusted gross income of $106,000 or less by signing the back of the Medicare card and checking the box indicating, I do not want Part B, medical insurance. Next question. I sold my house in 2023. Where are my Medicare premiums? Why are my Medicare premiums higher this year, and can I get them lowered? If you sold your home in 2023, your income likely increased, which may mean you are paying more for Medicare this year. The extra charge is called IRMA, I-R-M-A-A, income-related monthly adjustment amount, and it applies to people with higher incomes. If you think your IRMA charge is too high, ask Social Security to review it by calling 800-772-1213. That number again, 800-772-1213. I'm a Medicare beneficiary with only Parts A and B. I received a bill for lab work done 18 months ago. Do I have to pay it? Medicare requires health care providers to send bills within 1 year. If they miss the deadline, Medicare usually won't pay. If the testing you received is a Medicare service, you owe only 20% of the cost plus any unmet deductible. Check your bill and your Medicare account or call Medicare at 800-633-4227 to make sure you're being charged the correct Medicare allowed amount. That number again, 800-633-4227. And finally for this week, also from the bulletin, Fraud Watch. That text might be a trap. Message scam losses are on the rise. Here's what to know and how to protect yourself. Back on the job market after a long hospital stay, Hamilton Roberts, 69, got a text message last November offering him a $30 an hour work-from-home customer service position. But it was a scam that cost him $15,000. The scammers said they were from a real company, said Roberts, a data analyst from the Washington, D.C. area. They mailed me checks for ordering equipment and had me send money back to them, but the checks were bad. I lost my savings. Like Roberts, more and more Americans are falling victims to text message fraud. In 2024, consumers lost $470 million to these scams, five times more than in 2020, says the Federal Trade Commission. One big reason for the surge? Criminals know that while consumers are wary of unsolicited phone calls and emails, our guard is down when it comes to texts, even when the sender is unknown. People are more trusting with text messages, says Murat Kadaloja, a computer science professor at Virginia Tech. We're used to getting them from friends and family. We're also used to displaying good manners by responding quickly, notes Amy Larson Kirkpatrick, president of the Stop, Think, Connect messaging convention, a global digital security campaign. Criminals know consumers open 98% of text messages and respond to 45%, while we open just 20% of emails and respond to only 6% of those. In February, a short text popped up on Terry Marshall's phone. It said, "Hello," recalls the 67-year-old retired electrician from Tennessee. I answered, "Hello, who is this?" I thought it was a friend, but they wrote back, "Oh, isn't this Jenny?" I said they had the wrong number and erased the conversation. But the mysterious texter kept on chatting, telling Marshall he was super nice and sending a photo. It was a cute girl named Isabella, he says. Isabella persuaded Marshall to invest $105,000, nearly his life savings, in cryptocurrency. the money seemed to grow and then vanished. Desperate to recover his nest egg, Marshall lost another $11,000 to a scam recovery company that was also a fraud. He reported the scams to police and the FBI. Losses go beyond money. Criminals are stealing personal information, including passwords and credit card, bank account, Medicare, and Social Security numbers. These are pros, said Bradley Reeves, an associate professor at North Carolina State University who studies text and robocall scams. It is organized crime, and they're using a stunning variety of text message scams. Topping the list in a 2025 FTC report were text frauds involving phony package delivery problems, sham job offers, bogus fraud alerts for items customers never purchased, and wrong number texts like the one Marshall fell for. Text scammers also impersonate banks, credit card companies, computer tech support services, Social Security, the IRS, and Medicare. That's not all. Toll road agencies across the U.S. are warning the public about a rash of texts claiming recipients owe highway tolls and face big fees for legal action. I got a text that I owed $6.99 in tolls on the Massachusetts Turnpike, said Douglas Johnson, 80, a retired printer from North Carolina. My wife and I had been traveling in Massachusetts, so I thought maybe it was true. I started entering my credit card information and then realized something wasn't right. Johnson, who taught cybersecurity safety programs to older adults for years, says, if you have any question in your mind about a text, just delete it. Now we have time for a few more ways to save money, and we're still in the grocery section here. It says go to the clearance section. You can find deep discounts, especially after holidays, when holiday-themed items are marked down, including cereal, candy, and paper goods. Blue Buffalo Santa Snacks dog treats were marked down from $5.49 to $3.49 after Christmas. Check flyers front and back. Supermarkets often put loss leaders on both sides of their weekly circulars. These discounts can be so deep the store actually loses money on them to entice you into the store. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.